I'm Critter.
I'm Jace.
And we should be working.
God damn it. It's one, two, say it.
All right. I'm Critter.
I'm Jace.
And we should be working.
I fucking hate you so much. So, what's our last episode topic?
By last, you mean most recent, right?
Sure.
I don't know.
What's on your mind? You look pretty down. Let's dig into that.
Every time I dig into why I feel down, you just ridicule me ruthlessly. This is why I'm down. I was happy until I saw your face.
Oh, you're such a liar. You were so excited to see me, and then as soon as I asked you what was going on, all of a sudden you went like, you turned off and then poured a bunch of water down your shirt. Apparently,
yeah, I've spilled freaking coffee. This podcast is off to a great start. It's because I got this sweet new coffee mug, and then I didn't use it this time, and so I spilled my coffee because I forgot to use my new coffee mug. It's just to show you you should never use old crap. You should buy brand new stuff all the time. Never reuse stuff, or else you spill coffee all over yourself. That's the lesson I've learned today.
Terrible. Or just use
What's
paper.
What's on your mind,
dingus? What's on my mind?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It's, may as well say it since this doesn't come out until it happens. But, like, it's last week and coming off of last week of phase two. And then coming off of, like, the long weekend and stuff. And then kind of just... Even after 3 days off of completely not thinking about like work or anything, just like immediately just run my head into the same problems and stuff. So I'm just like, it's kind of like just assuring of my decisions and stuff of like, yeah, it's time to move on. Let's get all this done. Let's button this up. Time to tie a bow on this and then move on to the next thing.
So you're feeling good, huh?
Good.
About the decision, at least.
I mean, it feels right. I guess it feels good. I mean, it's bittersweet, right? I mean, 8 years is a long fucking time.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever talked to anybody who left or even really got fired or let go or whatever, you know, circumstances, and it didn't end up being a good thing. Like, I've never heard somebody be like, I really regretted quitting, you know, or I really wish that I'd never gotten fired or something. It always turns into something better.
Because the one alternative is that they end up homeless on the street or, like, killing themselves or something, right? So, like...
Well, I mean, like...
How do you even follow up with those people, huh?
Oh, so you mean, like, it's, like, a confirmation bias type thing or something? Like, if I'm talking to them, because they haven't gone homeless and off the grid.
I would think so.
Oh, survivorship bias. That's what it is, not confirmation.
Is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of the... people who get really successful on YouTube and then they make all these videos about how this is how I got successful and people try to copy them, but you're not hearing from the 99% of people that followed all those same strategies and didn't get successful. You're just hearing from the survivors. So yeah, but I don't think that's it. I mean, like for me, for example, I've rambled a lot about being stressed out and anxious and just like unhappy in the past 9-10 months from my new job for various reasons, but I don't regret it. You know, I still think it was the right move, even if it sucks sometimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, any new situation or learning experience, you have to, like, find your place in it and then, you know, figure out the space that you actually do take up and who you need to, like, talk to and all that other stuff. So, I mean, change is a coming, and I'm excited for it. But at the same time, I also know that there's going to be things I'm just like, what? I have to do, like, why? You know, and then I just have to, like, trust in the process and, you know, go with it and then... see how it works out versus like trying to shoot down any new ideas before I even attempt them.
Yeah. I wonder if there's like, I talked to Eric about this a little bit before because he stayed at phase two for, I don't know, 11, 12 years now, I think.
12 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And he, you know, I basically asked like, how can you stay in one place for that long? Like, don't you feel like you could be growing more in another place? And his answer was that growth is not something that he pursues in and of itself. And it made a lot of sense to me. Like for me, the reason I never regretted quitting is because growth is kind of my thing. That's what I'm after. And I'm growing and that's good. Even if it's painful sometimes, it's overall good. But if that's not you know, like if you just kind of want to chill and be happy and hang out with your family and, you know, work to live, whatever, work in a job that's comfortable, then that's, I think that should be fine. I don't like anybody to feel pressured into being ambitious if that's not the way they are.
Well, also, so I mean,
maybe an Eric actually would regret if he forced it.
Maybe. Yeah. 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 Or have some sort of regrets and stuff that you'd have to deal with. But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, I don't know. My mother has this weird thing stuck in her head about how I don't like change because of one particular moment in my teenage years, which was really funny. But
what was the moment? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, after, but like I crave change is what I was getting at. But the moment actually was the house, the last house we lived in Hawaii. It was a small house. I think it was like two bedrooms and a den and like a living room and kitchen. I'm pretty small. But the den didn't really have a real door and it was like connected to the living room, which was right next to the front entrance to the house. So like I got the den. That was my privacy thing. And I had like these weird accordion doors and my mom had this weird thing. Well, I mean, probably that actually a good thing, calculated thing of like, I'm reaching my teenage years, going sexually active and all that stuff. So she wanted to like, make sure I had like a door and all that. But instead of like giving me a real door, which she ended up doing while I was like at school or work, I forget exactly if I was like 14, 15 at the time, but, what was it? Oh, she took away like the accordion doors. It was like, oh, I'm going to give you a real door and blah, blah, blah. And all she did was like hang drapes and it was like copper and gold colored drapes with like the see-through red nylon stuff in front of it. So it looked like really feminine. And so like I came home from whatever I was doing. I was just like, what the fuck is this? And she's like, oh, I made a door for you. And I was like, what? Fuck this. Give me the accordion doors back. And I like tore it off the wall and just threw it down in the living room and then went to bed. I was like, it's fucking so stupid. God fucking damn it.
Dang. Brutal. What was your, did you have a rage problem at this point? Or like, was that
always, thing? I've had a rage problem my entire life.
But you wouldn't rip a door off like, you know, now being 36 or whatever, however old you are.
I mean, I would have to be pretty pissed, right? Like, it would have to, like if somebody just changed them, I was just like, what the fuck? And now that I'm older, I would just undo it. But back then, like, I mean, I've said it 1,000 times on this podcast. Like, my reaction to anything was super unhealthy. Like, I would snap on anyone. It didn't fucking matter who you were. And it was like a 0 to 100. It wasn't pleasant, even for family members. Probably less so for them.
Was it your mom that actually installed that thing?
Yeah, yeah. That was her whole like creative whatever. I'm gonna make this look great and it's gonna look great and when we're sitting here watching TV in the living room because we don't have to look at shitty accordion doors and that kind of stuff and when I yeah, all that just didn't matter.
So she went to all this trouble to give you this door as a sign of like respect and stuff, and then you ripped that crap off.
Yeah.
And that was just it.
But the thing is there's no respect involved at all, right? Because one, she was just making a decision because she was an adult and I was her child. And two, she never got my opinion at any point. Like, never asked me what I wanted. Not once. So, it was just a thing.
I accidentally just typed in chat when I meant to type in footnotes. Jace ripped the door off. Consider that a footnote.
But I wasn't ripping a door. It was like, it was just a curtain hanger.
Yeah,
thing. And I just like took it off the shit and then threw it on the ground. So, I mean, it wasn't like, that wasn't the bad one. The worst thing that I did, I think, in that house was I punched a hole in the wall right next to the electrical box. And then my mom just like kind of covered it up with a map.
With a map?
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, screw patching up the drywall. That crap's so annoying. What is there a story behind that? You just lost your temper and punched the wall?
Yeah, we're snapping about something. I think she like was probably grounding me for something that I found stupid. And I was just like, fuck you. And then just smashed the wall.
Huh. Do you remember ever like regretting it or being sorry? Or like sad that you did something like that?
Not when I was older. When I was younger, when I'd do something, I'd like immediately get like the regret and like, oh fuck, I really fucked up. And then, you know, by the time I had that thought, an adult was punching me in the face or something. You know, I was getting just thrown around or beat. So as I got older, it was more of just like, now what? You know, it's just like your move. This is how I'm escalating the situation. So choose your next whatever the fuck wisely kind of thing versus, you know, doing something and be like, oh, I really fucked that up. Who's going to pay for that? You know, all those things.
But when you had that, like, I know it was a long time ago, you might not remember, but when you had that feeling of like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Did you feel like that because you hurt somebody else's feelings or like upset someone else? Or was it just like, now I broke all this crap, or now, you know, I'm going to have to deal with this, or like selfish reason?
It was usually like I broke something and be like, oh fuck, they probably like that. But I mean, I don't think it was ever like maybe making somebody cry. I was probably like, oh shit, maybe it was too hard or something, you know? But
Is this psychopathic tendencies? Is that what you're describing? Is that what this is? Sociopathic?
Yeah, wouldn't be closer to sociopathic. I mean, something like that. I mean, I definitely have some kind of disconnect there for sure. Especially when I was younger, like when I would actually try to make those connections to empathy and whatever, like they're short circuited by a punch to the face or being thrown across the room or kicked in the chest. Like I just never made that connection when I was really younger. And then it's just short circuited now with like sarcasm and deflection and all this other bullshit. So yeah, takes a minute for me to actually empathize with people. But I mean, we've talked about it before, like how I don't really miss people and stuff either. Like all that, it's all connected. Like it's just, yeah.
I just Googled it because I think I thought I remembered hearing on a podcast that psychopaths are pretty common. So it looks like psychopaths make up about 1% of the general population, while sociopaths make up about 4% of the general population. What they have in common, they both have antisocial personality disorder. They both like empathy. They both have disregard for social rules. Both can be violent. Both fail to feel any remorse or guilt. Huh. And I do remember hearing that most of them grow out of it to some extent.
I mean,
guilt for hurting other people, though.
I have felt guilty that I have hurt people. Yeah. I don't linger on it, though. Like, I tend to deal with it or try to write it in some way. And then if the other person just wants nothing to do with me, then that's how they want to deal with it. And just, I disappear.
Have you ever apologized for hurting someone's feelings or something? Like, you know, like a for real legit apology, not just because you felt like you needed to?
I don't understand apologizing if you don't feel like you need to. Isn't that disingenuous?
Well, that's what I mean. I think that most people would feel like they needed to every time they hurt someone's feelings.
Oh, I don't feel like that every time that I hurt someone's feelings, no. But, I mean, there have been some times. Most people, people don't take, I mean, I don't deliver it well, I'm sure. But, like, even my sincere apologies and stuff, people think that I'm joking or something. Like, my dimples don't help in those situations. Like, yeah, people think that I'm just smiling at them, but whatever. I don't know.
Man, I would like to live in your head for like an afternoon.
No, you wouldn't.
Not even a full day. You would just be like wrecked a few hours.
Forever.
You'd I just want to get a taste.
Like just all like, that shit. Ugh.
I feel like I'm often. I feel like a deep sense of guilt for. I mean, not often because I don't often like lose my crap on people, you know, or like do a bunch of dumb stuff that'll make somebody cry. But like fairly regularly, especially with my kids. But like, okay, so here's an example. When I released that horrible book about Drupal, like 8 years ago, Nancy threw me a party, like a book release party. And she had it like decorated and she got these poppers and stuff and she got a trophy or something. And she had this like idea for a photo shoot where like they would pop poppers at me and I'd like hold the trophy up and it would just be like ridiculous and funny and whatever. But so it was just super nice. You know, like she was just trying to do something like super nice for me. She's a person that does that kind of stuff. And I am super uncomfortable being the center of attention and having everybody stare at me while they pop poppers at me. And I'm like posing for a picture. It was just like not my jam. So I did it, but I was just obviously not, you know, I was like disgruntled and just like grumpy and just wanted it to be over with. And yeah, after that, I just felt horrible when I realized like she went to all this trouble just to make me feel special. And then I ruined it because I wasn't willing to pose for a stupid picture. And like, it was a terrible feeling. I think I'm hearing that that's not a feeling that you have had very often.
I get it, but I mean, I metabolize it so quickly. It's like in and out. It's not like something I linger on. I mean, I have something recently, like my mother put together, like my mother and sisters put together like this camping trip, quote unquote camping. Definitely renting like some small motel thing next to a marina. But yeah, they set up the whole thing for like that my birthday week. And it was just kind of like a family get together type of thing. I think I even talked about it in the podcast, but like when we got there, my youngest sister's dog, adopted dog, like bit my shin, like within 5 minutes of me being there. And then like somebody said something else. And then somebody said something else about like, oh, well, we can't have the dogs off leash. And I was like, why the fuck are we here with four dogs then? I don't fucking understand why this whole thing was put together. Like, I just went off and I was just like, don't fucking invite me to this shit ever again. I don't fucking care. And like, I just walked away and I left it at that. And then, you know, the mood definitely soured and stuff. And I was just like, yeah, that's how I feel. I'm never not going to tell you how I feel in that situation. Because that's exactly how I fucking felt. You know why I don't like to come to family get-togethers? You know why I don't like to fucking, you know, go camping and all that bullshit? There it is. It's fucking right there. And it's something that happens all the fucking time. Like, just... And, yeah, so it's just one of those things where, like, I feel guilty because I'm like, they put all this effort into it. And, like, it is around my birthday. And they just want me to be a part of the family and stuff. But there's definitely, like, barriers and shit to that where... I don't know. I just have to set up my boundaries a little better in advance before those types of things.
Yeah. So the fact that you brought down the whole vibe and like ruined a good time for everybody, that you were okay with that because it was how you felt and you were just being honest.
But it ruined it for that day or like that afternoon or whatever when we were all there. But yeah, I don't give a shit. That's
God. That's the crap that really crushes me. If I ruin a bunch of people's good. And I think that's why I hate. So, I hate like birthday parties for me in general, but I especially hate surprise parties because like people have this big expectation that you're going to be like, wow. And, you know, they like are looking forward to it. And so I'm always like,
for sure.
If I don't have the exact right reaction, then they're going to be disappointed and then it won't be as fun for them. And it just, you know, it stresses me out.
Dude, like we could talk about this shit all day, but like exact same thing as like presents, Christmas presents, birthday presents, especially when I was younger, like. My grandparents were the worst. My grandmother was the worst, where she would just, like, if I wasn't ecstatic in every fucking little thing that she got me, and praise Lord Jesus that she got it for me this Christmas, and, you know, she would just be like, oh, you ungrateful little shit. Like, and it was like, you know what? Fuck you. I don't need another gecko shirt. Who fucking cares? Stop buying me shit. I don't buy me shit so that you can get a reaction out of me that you think that you deserve for buying me shit. Like, I don't fucking need, like, that's how this whole, like, getting free shit and people buying me presents and stuff, like, how I just cut it off was, seriously, at a very, very young age. I think by the time I was 10, I would just throw presents back at them. Like, I was just like, don't fucking buy me anything. Like, I was done. And I mean, like, it sounds funny, right? In the joke, but like, I was just,
it's pretty funny.
I was so pissed by that manipulation. And then being able to just be like, oh, well, he's ungrateful. Oh, he's ungrateful. Don't get him anything, you know, and shit like that. It's just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Ungrateful. Like, I said, thank you. Like, that's the limit of you just buying me something random and that I don't fucking want or need and me receiving it. Anything else is just fucking an expectation that you were stupid for having.
Man, I do not envy your mom. It must have been tough.
I mean, yeah, there's each child is a different personality too. Like, I mean, my sister also has her own shit that she was going through and all that. So, yeah.
I think if somebody gave one of my kids a present and he threw it back at them, that would be bad. I can't even.
Well, like, if it's a stranger, you know, there's a barrier. But like, if it's somebody that fucking knows, and especially her, like, it was just such a bullshit thing. Like, don't try to fucking control me with this bullshit. Like, what is this?
Yeah, I hear you, man. And like, and, you know, we've talked about gift giving before at some point. But yeah, I think that coupled with the fact that like 90% of gifts are just crap that people don't actually care about, it's tough.
Well, like, oh, man, like I would go to school in secondhand clothes, and yet they would buy me like some stupid shit for Christmas and birthday. And I was just like, fucking buy me new clothes. How about that? We can't do fucking new school year clothes shopping. How about you fucking buy me clothes the other 2 days in the year that you would buy for, like, buy me something instead of buying me Connects or an Erector set or whatever the fuck it was, right? Like, mm-hmm. some cheap plastic that's just gonna fucking break in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. All of it was just, none of it makes sense, especially looking back now, like with what I know now and like how dysfunctional even the adults and the adults of the adults were back then. It's just like, god damn.
Yeah, it's because everybody always buys stuff to optimize for the surprise, like the unwrapping experience, instead of like, will they actually use this thing? I'm with you. And I think that's part of the problem, is that everybody feels such a pressure to say, wow, this is the coolest thing, exactly what I wanted, whatever, even if they don't actually care about it. So nobody ever really knows what somebody wants, because no matter what you give them, they're always going to say it's great.
Right.
So if somebody just wants clothes, then you'll never find out if you keep giving them stupid toys.
Right, and now the normal reaction to getting a present is supposed to be like, oh my god, I can't believe you got this for me. How did you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're posting about it on Facebook forever.
Growing up, sometimes we would go to like my grandparents' house, and there would be, you know, like a lot of people there, and they would always go, you know, for Christmas I'm talking about, and the way they would open presents is they would just do one by one, like youngest to oldest, and start back over at the youngest, and like, so everybody would be watching everyone when they opened every single present, and that was my nightmare, having like, you know, 15 plus people, some of which stupid. I haven't seen in a year, staring at me opening everything, and most of them are like crap I don't actually care about. The stress of that just ruined the whole thing for me. Like, I'd rather just not get presents.
I don't know, like, There's just so many things wrong with it, right? Like, don't fucking waste your money on things that I don't want to begin with. I know we ain't got a lot of it. We don't have a lot of money to begin with when we're kids. Like, fucking, just stop wasting it. Like I said, it'd make it fucking more useful. Otherwise, it's so pointless. Why? That was the biggest thing.
Do you feel like assuming you were a sociopath when you were a kid, and assuming that growing out of it is a thing, do you feel like you've started to grow out of it? Do you feel different about it than you used to?
Man, the way you opened up the phrasing on that is going to make this sound worse, I guess. But so I never knew I had a problem for a long time. And that's kind of like the growth that I talk about on here the most, is like, I didn't realize that I wasn't empathizing with anyone, or like, I didn't give a shit. You know, like I didn't realize I was hurting people just passively by saying stuff. And, you know, I didn't recognize that, you know, somebody winced at what I said or anything like that. Like, I just said stuff and then left the room and, you know, just would walk away. So like, when in early 30s, not even that long ago, I started to realize that, like, you know, I actually do take up space, and I actually do have a voice, and I actually do make noise. You know, on all those types of things. So like, it was just kind of like realizing first that, you know, oh, I'm kind of a piece of shit. I mean, really? And then kind of addressing that slowly and surely, just like with certain things, like, oh, me smoking cigarettes in front of a place of business is bad, because fucking blowing cigarette smoke in passerby's face, or, you know, customer's face and stuff sucks. You know, shit like that. Like, okay, so maybe I'll quit smoking, but then I vaped for a while, and then I like would have these weird rules of like, oh, I won't vape or smoke near children or like pregnant women and stuff like that. And so it's just weird. Like, it, I went, like, I didn't really have any kind of guide for like, here's how you fix all these small problems that you have for being an asshole. It's just kind of like trial by fire of certain things. And then, you know, just people giving me feedback randomly, like, I don't know. Just random shit.
You didn't realize that what the stuff you were saying was hurting people. So is that like you had thick skin, so you assumed everybody else did, or were you just being a huge hypocrite? And like, if other people said that stuff to you, it would have hurt you.
I mean, I would like to think it was the thick skin thing, but a lot of it goes back to kind of what I said earlier, where like my attitude from a teenager was just kind of like, well, I'm escalating it to this level, so it's your move now. Choose wisely, kind of thing, right? So like, I was just more in a standoff with most people of like, even if somebody was like, hey, I'm offended by that. I'm like, and? Like, what's next? I don't give a fuck if it offends you. I give a fuck if you're going to attack me because it offends you, because then I have to do something on that. But other than that, I'm walking the fuck away. So, you know, it was like a combative more attitude towards everything.
I feel like that's really freeing in a way. Like, you just fundamentally not really care what other people are thinking or feeling.
It actually helps a lot with consulting in certain areas, but it also can hinder in certain things, especially when you're like in a standoff with the client. You're just like, well, I can do this. And they're just like, well, that's not enough. It's like, and? Like, but I can do this. Like, you have to come back with something, some kind of feedback, some kind of critique, some kind of like path forward or anything. There's no just like, no. And I just accept that. Like, sorry, I'm here still.
So have you ever like negotiated for a price on anything? Like, I know you never bought a car.
Yeah, no, I negotiated for the house price, but I also had like help. Like, my brother-in-law is good with that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's the crap that I really struggle with. Like, if I'm in a negotiating situation and somebody like, you know, pressures me and there's an awkward silence and they're just waiting on me to respond, like, I'm going to cave every dang time. I'm going to cave.
Like, even in your salary negotiations and stuff? Because I know you do that.
Well, that was easier because it was mostly over email. And I had a book that said exactly what to say and exactly when to say it. So I felt like I was more like following a script in a play or something, as opposed to actually doing any thinking myself.
Gotcha. But you never negotiated like a raise or anything, like on a call, even when you're at phase two or and all
Well,
that?
I mean, I try. Like, when I first joined phase two, I said something like, you know, like I tried. And for whatever that's worth, but for me that basically meant like, can you give me any more money than that? And they're like, no. And I was like, okay. So, you know, like, that doesn't really count. I didn't make him feel pressured at all.
Gotcha. You didn't come with like the full package of just like, this is why I deserve more money type of thing.
I read a book one time and dude was talking about the book is I Will Teach You to Be Rich, I think, and the dude was talking about his dad, who like was so hardcore about negotiating that he one time walked out of a like completely done used car sale. Like, he was buying a used car and he walked out after like being there for hours because the guy wouldn't throw in new floor mats or something, like just like that hardcore about it. And like, I would never be able to do anything like that after wasting somebody's time for 3 hours and just walking out and being like, okay, sorry, you're not going to play ball. I would feel too bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, right? Like, I mean, I'm walking around now with a bad haircut just because the dude was just like, hey, why don't you try out this new guy? Give him a chance. And it's like, yeah, sure, why not? And then first thing he did was fuck it up.
I mean, what can you do though, right? Like, once it's cut, it's cut.
I could have flipped out, or I could have demanded like that the barber that I actually booked with actually fixed his fuck up, right? Like, make it look good and comp the haircut and all that. But yeah. Like, I could have been that asshole. But again, like, why? And a lot of that's something newish as well to kind of what we're talking about with like the evolution of me, I guess, is where like my not caring comes in handy in those situations, because I'm just like, it's fucking hair, like it's gonna grow back. I'm not balding yet, it's fine. Like, I can, the COVID variants fucking rampant right now, so I can still hide out in the house without anybody going, you know, thinking twice about it or anything like that. So it's okay.
Nice. Yeah, Nancy sent food back a few weeks ago. First time I've ever seen her do that. I was proud of her. And it was disgusting too. Like, I'll eat anything, and even I couldn't eat that. They like way burnt this Alfredo sauce or something. She was just super nice about it. She was just like, you know, very kind and respectful, and they did it, and they gave her free, you know, like they took it off and stuff. And yeah, I mean, you know, I thought that was pretty cool. I've never done that, and I think in her situation, I probably would have just eaten it despite the fact that it was disgusting.
I do not mind anybody. Like, it's not cringeworthy for me or whatever if I'm with people and they send food back because they don't like it for whatever reason, if something's actually wrong with it. Like, I think if somebody's especially writing your order down and you're giving it to them, like, and it's not some crazy, like, latte order bullshit thing, you know, that people do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you ask for medium rare and it comes well done. You're like, oh, I asked for this medium rare. You know, that kind of shit's fine. But like, if you're one of those assholes that eats all that you can before bringing it up, that it's fucked up, you know, and that, like, I just think it's fucking stupid and you should be shot. Like, not dead, just in the shoulder or something.
In the shoulder, yeah.
Just calf, you. Maybe. Just stop being a fucking idiot. Do something else with your life.
Where do you think the least painful place to be shot is?
Fuck if I know. I do not want to be shot.
I think I'll tell you that much. You know the weenus, like the skin on your elbow? You heard of that? That you can, you know how you can like pinch it really, really hard and it doesn't really hurt?
Sure.
I feel like if you stretch that out and just shot a bullet right through there, that would probably hurt the least. It's probably the way to go.
I don't know, man. Such a weird conversation. I really would not like to get shot. For all you listeners out there.
If I had to choose, I'd go full weenus. For sure. I can't believe it's called that, by the way. Is it actually called that?
I have no idea. I've only heard it from you.
Weenus. Yeah, weenus is a slang word. Oh, it's a slang word. Okay. For the excess loose skin at the joint of one's elbow. So what's the actual word? Oh, it's technically referred to as olecranal skin.
Yeah, weenus is much more approachable.
Olecranal? Olecranal. Oh, what is it? Oh, that means it belongs to the olecranon. And the olecranon is the process of the ulna, which is one of the bones of the forearm, projecting behind the elbow joint. Wow, yeah, I'm going with weenus. Weenus for the win.
good old slang.
Have you ever had something like poked all the way through your skin to the other side?
A fish hook.
Ooh, like, your finger?
A bunch of times, yeah. Finger, forearm. I think I got my shoulder, like on my trap, almost next to my neck once, which is really bad. But
that sounds rough.
Well, it sucked the most for sure because it was a shocker. I was just like, oh my God. somebody caught me while they're casting. It was not fun.
Oh, yeah, and they're yanking it. Ugh.
Yeah, thankfully not too much weight was on that line. But
Yeah, I got a little, like just a tiny little cut when we were fishing at the beach like a month or two ago. And it was no big deal. And then a couple days later, it was infected. And it was one of those things that's like, you can't see it, you know, and it was maybe a tiny bit red, but it hurt so bad. Like I could not touch anything with that hand for a few days. And I hate crap like that. Like if I'm going to hurt, then I want people to at least be able to see and like understand that I'm not being a wuss about it.
Right. You need that validation, that external validation.
Yeah. I need something to show people, and I want to see them go, ooh, you know, right. I want to hear that, and then I'll feel good about it.
I mean, that's why I like to show people my gaping hand wound, or used to anyway. That was so much fun.
Oh, you used to. Well, now you got the floppy skin, right? You can still show them that.
Yeah, but that's not as, like, ooh, worthy, right? Like, that's seeing a giant opening in my hand.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever had any of those. I had a hole in the bottom of my foot for like a few months when I was in high school. And
like,
I
really, just because?
Yeah, I still don't know what it was. Like, it didn't hurt. It was a pretty significant sized hole. Like, I would stick little scissors in there and see if I could dig out like a planter's wart or something. You know, they say if you can get to the root of it, then it'll come out. Uh-huh. I don't know. It was just a weird thing. And then one day I put, not rash cream, but like, yeah, fungus cream. And then the next day it was gone. So it was super weird. It was really strange.
You just had a weird fungus on your foot?
Yeah, and I can't ever talk to Nancy about it because she like immediately will start gagging. It really gets her.
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah. I mean, I stepped on a rusted nail when I was a kid. That went up into my heel. That was pretty nuts.
Do you have to get tetanus shots and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty young with that one. I think like even they had to dig out a piece of the rubber slipper that was stuck up in there because like I was wearing rubber slippers.
Oh god, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, no, I mean not too many insane things really. I had a teacher run over my left ankle when I was in eighth grade.
Was that bad? That could be really bad.
It was pretty bad. Yeah, I couldn't really walk for a little while. But it was such a strange situation. I don't think so. I can't remember. My ankle's deformed now, though. Like, there's a bunch of scar tissue and shit around it. So, like, yeah, it just looks all fucked up. But thankfully, I ruined my other ankle as well and tore a bunch of ligaments in that one. So, like, it also looks all fucked up with scar tissue.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it kind of balances out.
Yeah. But they were, like, you ran a half marathon and stuff. But, you know, they were okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're not bad. I definitely hurt. definitely hurt. I mean, I've been also overweight for my entire life, so.
My, let's see, Nancy's sister's husband, Andy, he played soccer for his whole life, and now whenever he, like, I guess he hurt his legs or, like, you know, injured his knees or something so many times that whenever he walks, it just sounds like crack, like, everything is crack. Every step, you just these feel old like bones. Cracking. Yeah, these old bones are cracking. And he got into running for a little while, and then he showed me a picture, like, what happens when he runs is that his entire ankle gets, like, these purplish dots all over it, and it swells up really bad, and it's super weird.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes me thankful in a way that I didn't play a lot of sports growing up because my body's still reasonable and I can still run without my ankle like revolting.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, oh man, if I played any sports, like any like contact sports, it would be pretty nuts.
Yeah, were you never into what's the sport in Hawaii? Is football big there? Like, yeah, American football? A big
one. Yeah. What volleyball. Volleyball is probably the biggest though.
Why? Because beach volleyball?
I mean, it's just super popular there, and there's a ton of great players. But yeah,
that's tall people. Hawaii has a lot of tall people.
There's some, or quite a few tall, especially women. Women volleyball, it's probably the most successful sport in Hawaii. I want to say, if we're talking like collegiate and stuff.
Man, I never would have guessed that. I don't know what I would have guessed.
I think that's right. Well, I mean, football did really well. Back when Colt Brennan was at UH, they went like 13-0 or whatever, but then lost in the Rose Bowl or whatever bowl it was to Georgia.
Was he a QB? Let me look him up.
Yeah, he passed away recently, like this year or last year, though, sadly.
Oh,
but
bummer. Oh, yeah, ex-Hawaii record-setting QB, Colt Brennan. Man, what an awesome quarterback name, Colt Brennan. That is super cool. You can't be a quarterback if your name's Mike Crittenden. It just doesn't work.
You definitely would be called Critter.
Critter passes it wide. Yeah, he looks like a quarterback. Something about it's like a quarterback look, man. You could show me a bunch of football players and I could point out which one's a quarterback.
Shut up.
So he was a white guy, though. He's not a... Let's see. Is he like extra special for you because of that? He was one of your people? A white dude in Hawaii?
Not at all. Like, I'm not a big sports ball guy in general, but I was paying attention to the sport when he was playing just because I was living back in Hawaii and stuff at the time as well. Mm. So, yeah, it's one of those time and place type of things.
Okay, he's only 37 when he died.
Yeah, he's a year older than I am.
Rehab. Freaking drugs, man.
Yeah. So, what next?
I'm just reading this article because that's gripping podcast material.
Are you reading?
Yeah. You can tell the tension in the silence.
Oh, you're an idiot.
All right. So, random thing. I am using a new calorie counter app called Calorie with a Y. Calory. And it's dope because you don't actually have to enter what you ate. You can just enter like the number of calories roughly. It's got a little widget. Just type like 300, you know, or like I eat a snack. I type 150.
So it's a CICO counter, basically?
Yeah.
Like you give it a goal and then... It just tells you if you went over or whatever.
Mm, yeah, and it's all very like rough estimation. And that's always my problem. It's like, I don't need to know exactly how many calories are in that sandwich I just ate. Like, I know it's about 500, you know, so I can just type in 500. The only downside is that you don't get any macros that way. But that's okay for me.
That's something that fucks with me, too, is like even getting the macros and all the numbers and all of that. Like, then you're trying to be specific and it's like... I'm not getting on stage or anything. Nobody fucking cares. Like, I'm just trying to lose body fat percentage. That's just it. Like, I just want a deficit. So, like, the loose baselines and stuff help.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All I care about is, like, not eating too many calories and also getting a reasonable amount of protein. And I feel like I can generally, you know, if I have a protein smoothie in the morning and, like, a decent amount of meat in dinner, then I'm usually okay with protein. So I'm not super worried about it. One thing I have realized, though, is I eat way too much sodium. Like, yeah, I'll be over my sodium by, like, lunchtime.
Yeah, for sure. Like, fuck, it's in everything, too.
Yeah, like, it super is. It's everywhere.
Especially, like, I started drinking those energy drinks again recently. Those are fucking just chock full of sodium.
Like, Monsters and stuff?
Yeah.
Why are you drinking those again?
Well, I was I have been switching my schedule around, and I was trying to like stay up later and go to bed later and then wake up just like slightly later type of thing. But working out after work, I feel like super drained and stuff. So I was trying to like take some caffeine earlier in the day so that it like keep me coasting a little longer, but just fucking around with it.
A guy I managed said he went to Barcelona one time and stayed there for a couple weeks for vacation. He said that siestas are like a legit thing there. Like you go out and walk around at like 1 p.m. and there's just nobody because everybody's sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, I have definitely thought about doing like just a nap in the afternoons because around 2 p.m., like I'm done usually. Like my brain shuts off and all that. So I at least have to walk away and like reset or take like a long lunch or something. So like, I don't know, maybe even splitting it so that I just work like 6 hours and then just sleep like a fucking nap in the afternoons, wake up, work out, and then come back and work another 2 hours or something. That'd be pretty.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty dope schedule for real.
And then your like schedule from the time that you woke up that second time is you just wake up, work out, work for 2 hours, and then just fucking veg out for the rest of the night or do whatever. But yeah, I mean, that shit only also works when like I'm single and like don't want anybody else involved in my life at all.
Because like otherwise they want you to not be working till like 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. every day.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like or even if I wanted to take like a class like I was talking about and like COVID clears up a bit more and all that, like they're usually at like 6 p.m. 7 p.m. shit like that. So it's weird. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot too, because I like all summer, well, I really for the past 2 years, ever since I started running, the way that I run is I am done running by the time the kids start waking up. And that's been really hitting me ever since school started like a month ago, because I have to be done running by 6:30, which means like I'm often getting up at 5, and Nancy and I always stay up till, you know, at least 11:30. So like it's right. There are a few nights a week where I'm getting like 5 hours of sleep, and that crap just sucks. And I can't do that anymore. So I'm trying to work it into the workday. Like today I went running at 9 and finished in time for my first call, which was at 10, which is, you know, seems good. So I'm gonna see if I can make that work.
Yeah, what I'm liking so far about working out in the afternoons is I have nothing to do in the afternoons currently. Like, you know, fitness is the number one goal for me right now, the number one priority. So like if I'm in there and then I do like the workout and it only takes like 45 minutes, it's like, all right, well, just jump rope for 30 minutes or like row for 30 minutes or, you know, or just stretch for 30 minutes. Who gives a fuck? Like I get to just stay in there and do whatever for however long until I'm done and then immediately go to take a shower and then immediately eat. So everything's kind of just laid out after that activity. So it's been nice for that. But I need to figure out what the fuck to do in the mornings. Like walking is okay, but it's inconsistent or has been inconsistent. Like the dog walking with the dog is also different because he doesn't walk like a normal dog, and now he's like 90 pounds. And
dang, if he's 90 pounds,
yeah, and he's fucking short. Yeah, he's short and sturdy. So I mean, stout was the perfect name for him. But if he wants to pull, he will fucking pull. And I can hold him back for a while, but he has far more gas than I do. Like he will just keep pulling to his own detriment. Like it's fucking insane. Okay. I haven't figured out, like, he'll ignore treats sometimes. Yeah. So like, I'm still trying to figure out like how to get his attention and stuff and break that habit. But thankfully, like walking more has helped with that. But if he wants to stop and smell, he likes to just stop and smell in the mornings. It's like, that's his thing. So I can't get like a consistent walk. Mm-hmm. So it's not exercise, but it's nice to get out. So it doesn't serve the same purpose. So like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you just reminded me of something else, which is I read a book called Reasons to Stay Alive. It's about depression and suicide and stuff. And the guy, one of the points the guy made, he went through like some horrible depression. And he said one of the things that helped him was the rule. If it's nice outside and you can be outside, then be outside. Like no matter what's going on, if you're able to go outside, then just do whatever you're doing outside. I've been thinking a lot about that. I'm never really outside. I'm always just sitting here in this stupid office. I think I might want to go work outside some.
I definitely feel that. Yesterday was real bad for me. Like, I just woke up depressed, just fucking, like, super down. But, like, it was a nice day. And, like, something, like, I just, whatever I did was, when like, I saw my brother-in-law wake up, I was like, hey, we should go, or I think it was my sister, actually. I was just like, hey, we should go to the park later, you know, like, an actual dog park and go somewhere and all that. And they were like, yeah, we're going to work out and all this other stuff. I was like, sure, cool. But, like, I was just, like, not in a good spot already. So, like, I had already, like, smoked a bunch of weed and, like, just, like, trying to fix that. And then once we went to the park, it was okay. Like, it was just weird. Like, even walking around the neighborhood didn't really help anything. But, like, leaving and then, like, going to a park and, like, being surrounded by trees and stuff actually, like, super helped the mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, getting to do that, like, if they weren't around, I probably wouldn't have gone. Like, I would have just sat in that all day and just been, poor me.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those, like, one you never regret, you know, going outside type things, even though it's hard to make it happen. Like, it happens for me on the weekends with the kids. Like, we're sitting around at home just, like, watching TV, whatever. They're usually fighting and, you know, just bored and stuff. And I know intellectually that if I got them all ready and got shoes on and whatever, and we went to, like, a park or playground or a lake or something, then they would love it and they would get along and it would be awesome and whatever. But, like, I don't want to. I just want to sit right here because it's easier and stuff. And it's, yeah, that sucks. I'm trying to do better about that crap. Oh, and then also, I think there's something to be said for working out during working hours. I'm coming around to that. I've always tried to mostly avoid it. Like, you know, maybe I'll lift a little bit while I'm, like, you know, listening to a meeting or something. But mostly I've tried to do running and stuff outside of business hours. But someone I work with said that she takes a 2-hour break, even though, you know, she's working out from, like, 12 to 2 basically every day, like a long lunch break type thing. Yep. She was just really upfront about it. It was just like, yeah, I probably won't respond during this time. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, that would be so cool to just work out in the middle of the day and, you know, get it over with and go back to work.
Well, I think, well, yeah, like, 2 p.m. is really good for me, or it has been really good for me, just because, like, when I've had to do that, I used to, like, when I was training for the half marathon, I'd run at 2 p.m. because, like, our client was on the East Coast and stuff. And I was just like, all right, I'll be back and then just do the thing afterwards. But, yeah, the one thing that I don't like about that is the end time of that sometimes. Like, if you get in, like, a really good workout or something, or, like, you're taking more time than normal or whatever the fuck, and then, like, see the time and start panicking, then you're like, oh, fuck, I gotta get it all done. Like, that stuff's always weird for me. But, I mean, if you're just, like, running for an hour, but then you take a 2-hour break so that you can, like, run for the hour, and then you have, like, an hour to, you know, recover, shower, eat, all that, and then come back to work. That makes sense.
Yeah. But, yeah, and you could also make a case for it actually being work if you, well, I mean, there, you know, you could always, like, listen to work-related audiobooks or podcasts or something, but something that I've done a couple times is just get a, like, I often have, like, recorded meetings that I couldn't attend and I have to listen to, or, like, trainings or whatever that I have to listen to. Like, just run while you do that crap. Two birds with one stone. That way you actually are working. It makes me feel less guilty about it sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you limit your times that you work pretty, you're pretty, what is it, stringent with them.
Yeah, but really try not to go over 40, but it depends on how you define work too. It gets fuzzy.
Well, yeah, I also meant your, like, 9-to-5 time as well.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, like, I mean, like, now I would care a little bit more, but just because my workout times, but, like, I would work until 7 or 8 because I would not work from, like, 1 to 3 or something, you know? It just, like, yeah, I'm just going to time shift this chunk of day to nighttime because I can't focus right now, you know, shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, between 5 and 9, there's basically no way for me to do any work outside of maybe checking Slack a couple times because I'm just being bombarded with kids.
Yeah.
And I can't really work before 9 because I got to do school drop off and all that. So I'm kind of constricted. Like, I don't really have a choice, yeah, which is suck. Nice in some ways to not no, have to suck. Be tempted. I'm just going to keep interrupting you right when you try to say that I suck.
No, you suck.
I mean, dang it. You're too fast.
Is it because you suck?
It's not. I am going to try, like, the worst runs are the long runs that are, like, 2 hours, you know, having to get up crazy early for those.
I skipped the last one because I woke up and it was 5 a.m. and I was just like, there's no way. I'm so tired right now. So I'm going to try those on Mondays. I blocked off 9 to 11 a.m. on Mondays where Thomas will be in preschool. He started preschool today. This is his first day. So we actually have some time with zero kids in the house. So like the house will be empty anyway, you know, I might as well just go for a super long run and it's not pitch black outside and I'm not like sleep deprived and I'm super pumped about that. I hope that
Works. Your neighbors can actually see that you're running now. That it's not pitch black outside.
I can even leave the neighborhood because I don't have to worry about Nancy texting me, you know, saying that somebody woke up throwing up and then I'm like 45 minutes away.
Did that happen?
Yeah, I didn't. Not that specific thing. Not like the throwing up thing. Yeah, I don't think there's ever been like a crisis that I had to run back for. Sometimes it's like somebody woke up and I just offer to come back and help because Nancy's trying to sleep, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to trot your way back.
Mm-hmm. I trot. I do trot.
You do trot.
I do trot. Today I was running and I saw some dude trotting ahead of me, like way far ahead of me. And I was like, I'm going to catch that sucker. So I trotted my hardest. And when I rounded the corner where I saw him, he was just gone. I don't know if he was crazy fast or like if he went into his house or what. But I ran a really quick half mile for nothing. I know that.
What's Strava say? How quick was it?
Oh, it wasn't that quick. It was like 8 minute mile or something. No.
Well, our conversation sucks again.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's to do with running. Nobody cares.
We don't have to talk about running. We can talk about my to-do list.
Why? There's only 5 minutes left.
Because you got annoyed with me talking about it last time. So, of course, I'd want to talk about it again. Oh, have we talked about my reset month? No. I haven't mentioned this. I have a strict no work-related books or blog posts or articles or podcasts or anything for the month of September because I just got super stressed out and like burned out. And whenever I thought about, you know, like, oh, there's a new episode of that management podcast, I better listen to it. Like it would just stress me out more. So I'm cutting it all out and it feels nice. I like it so far.
Welcome like to my everyday.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't know. I way overdid it, man. I tend to do that. I go all in on something and then burn out on it.
Yeah, you burn out and then you don't even know you're burnt out until you have one random person say one thing off the cuff and then you just take it personally. And then
you're talking about freaking torpedoes. Mark, what Mark said?
Yep. God, Mark. And it just torpedoes your whole like inner self.
Yeah, Mark's like, do you think you read too much work-related stuff? And then it just ruins me for like the next 6 months. But that really, that's like almost all that I've read ever since I started this job, which was before I started this job, because I panic read books for like 3 weeks before I started. So like since last November, I've only been reading work-related stuff. And that's too much, man.
It's not even a full year. You fail.
That's a lot of books.
That is work. A lot of books.
I had 3 book clubs going at once at one point. And I did not like that. But I didn't want to admit to myself that I didn't like it, you know, because I love being like the guy who reads a lot of work-related books.
Yeah, I know. And I gave you shit for it almost every time that you'd bring it up.
But I'm known as that, you know, and I got to protect that reputation.
Ooh, I'm known as that.
So anyway, I'm reading East of Eden by John Steinbeck. Have you ever read that in school? Yeah, you didn't read anything in school, did you? We talked about this.
I don't even know any of the words that you said.
You don't know Steinbeck of Mice and Men?
Oh, I didn't know the author of it. I do know the story of Mice and Men.
Yeah, that's a super short one. This one's longer. It's like 600 pages, so I'm a little intimidated by it, but it's so good. It's like crazy good so far. It's amazing how these old books just still are so... Actually, there's a sociopath in the book. I mean, she's probably more of a psychopath.
I like that you're just like... on this whole sociopath thing. You're just like, yep, you're a sociopath.
That was eye-opening for me. Yeah, now I can't be in the same room as you anymore because I'm scared for my safety.
You were never safe.
I know, I just didn't realize it until now. All right, any parting words of wisdom?
No.
Do we have a guest for this week? We don't, do we?
No.
Cool.
You gonna find someone for once?
Me? Yeah. Why do I have to do all the work?
When's the last time that you found a damn guest?
Have I ever? Maybe I found like one or two. That's your job, though. It's your contribution.
No, that is not my contribution.
I think it should be.
Fancy that.
I'm gonna ponder. Fine, Jace. I'll find someone. Gah. See, you out-negotiated me again. That's what happens.
How? You could have just hung up and not have answered at all. But
that would have been rude. Also, I can't hang up because then we'll lose the recording.
Oh, that's true. Now you're just bound by your own words like an idiot.
I should have just hit stop, though.
You should have, but you're an idiot. You still haven't stopped.
And then I could have said whatever I wanted to. Hey, when's your first day again? Next Friday or this Friday?
Don't talk to me. I don't know you.
I know you intimately.
It's the 17th. It's a week from Friday. A
week from Friday. All right, you got a while left. When's your last day of phase two?
Monday. A week from yesterday.
So you got 3 days off, and you're right in the thick of it?
Well, that's just your onboarding day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I'm curious what onboarding to a company like that looks like. Wayfair, I was onboarded with like 70 people that one day, so it was just very, you know, lots of trainings and stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty curious. It'll be interesting. Fully different setup than what I've been used to for the past 8 years, so it will be all fun.
Are they going to send you a computer?
Yeah.
I think they mostly provide computers these days, hopefully.
Yeah, I would hope so. Especially a lot of like product companies and stuff, I would assume that they would want to send a computer so they can like kind of monitor and control a little bit, just because of all the proprietary shit that can be on them.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all kinds of like VPNs and stuff too. You got to worry about if people are just like using their own crap.
Yep. Exactly.
All right. Talk to you later. Say goodbye to me.
Bye.
Bye.